ఆప్యాయంతు మమాంగాని వాక్ ప్రాణశ్చక్షుశ్రోత్రమథో బలమింద్రియాణి చ సర్వాణి సర్వం బ్రహ్మ ఉపనిషదం మాహం బ్రహ్మ నిరాకుర్యాం మామా బ్రహ్మ నిరాకరోత్ అనిరాకరణమస్త్వ నిరాకరణం మే అస్తు తదాత్మని నిరతేయ ఉపనిషత్ ధర్మాస్తే మయి సంతో తే మయి సంతో. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. సో నౌ ఇన్ దిస్ ఛాందోగ్య ఉపనిషత్ we have seen already the first section of the first chapter, and you know very well the all these chapters are discussing only the topic of upasanam, meditation, and every class I want to remind you of this fact that meditation as a mental activity does not have the capacity to remove ignorance. Therefore, meditation is not a means of attaining moksha, means of attaining knowledge also. Meditation is only a preparatory discipline. But still, meditation can be used even for accomplishing other ends, artha kama dharmas also. So the first, I said, the meditation discussed in this chapter is called what? Pratika Upasanam. Pratika Upasanam, I talked to you about two types of meditations. One is called Sampad Upasanam. The other one is called Pratika Upasanam. And here the Upasanam discussed in this chapter is called Pratika Upasanam. Because Pratika Upasanam means the Pratikam, the alambanam itself becomes as revered as the object of meditation. It's like our murtis in the temple are no more looked upon as a mere piece of stone. It is worshipped, you know, it is looked upon as the very Bhagavan himself. Therefore, it's called Pratika Upasanam. The alambanam, the symbol, becomes as revered as the object of meditation. It is called Pratika Upasanam. And first we had, in the first chapter, first section, we had Udgita Upasanam. And Udgita Upasanam means Omkara Upasanam, wherein Omkaraha is taken as an alambanam for meditation, which means Omkara itself becomes an object of meditation. Here, as it said earlier, we are not meditating upon the meaning of Omkara. We are meditating upon Omkara as the one endowed with some greatness and glories. In that way, we have already seen that Rasa Tamatva Guna Visishta Omkara or Udgita Upasanam. Then we made it, we also understood, learned the other second upasanam also, second upasanam. Apti Gunavisishta Udgita Upasanam. Then the third one, we saw Samruddhi Gunavisishta Udgita Upasanam. These three we have already understood. We have finished the first section. Then later on, I said, the second section also introduces the same Udgita Omkara Upasanam only. But here, the difference is, Omkaraha serves as an alambanam for Pranaha. Prana Devata, Pranaha is invoked upon Omkaraha. Therefore, the Upasanam is called what? Now we are going to see the fourth upasanam, the second section. What is that? Prana Pratika ഉദ്ഗീത ഉപാസനം. പ്രാണ പ്രതീക ഉദ്ഗീത ഉപാസനം മീൻസ് വാട്ട്? ദി ഓംകാര ഉപാസനം. ദി പ്രാണ ഓംകാര ഉപാസനം മീൻസ് ദ ഓംകാര ആസ് എൻ ആലംബനം ഫോർ പ്രാണ, ബട്ട് ഓംകാര ഇറ്റ് സെൽഫ് ഈസ് മെഡിറ്റേറ്റഡ് അപ്പോൺ നൗ ആസ് ഹാവിംഗ് ദി പ്രാണ ഇൻവോക്ഡ് ഇൻ ഓംകാര. And here we saw why prana is taken as an object of meditation, because prana is endowed with five glories. Here omkara is the alambanam, prana is the upasya devata, and that so here why prana is invoked upon omkara the alambanam. Why prana is taken as an upasya devata, object of meditation? Because prana is endowed with five glories. Here. And the very first chapter we also saw the benefit of practicing Udgita Upasanam, the first Omkara Upasanam. And whoever is practicing whichever Upasanam, he is blessed with the given result, fruit also. That is also mentioned there. Then finally, the Upanishad ends this value that anything you do, even Upasanam when you practice knowingly. Okay. No problem. I find it myself. So anything is proper practiced knowingly, faithfully and thoughtfully will make it more efficacious. If you want to make your ritual, puja, worship or even the practice of meditation more efficacious, more effective, then practice that, do that knowingly, knowing the meaning of what you are doing. Then faithfully, having 100% faith in the words of the Shastram. Then thoughtfully means, having thoughtfully means with the meditation. Okay, then it becomes more efficacious. This is the end of the first section, Prathama Kandaha. Finished. Now we are going to enter into the second section wherein I told you again Omkara Upasanam. What having the prana as an object of meditation, invoking the prana in Omkara, we are going to meditate upon. And here prana, why prana is taken for object of meditation? Because prana is endowed with fivefold glories. The greatness we are going to see. And for which the first glory of the prana, the greatness of the prana is, Pranaha is the Shuddha Tamaha. Pranaha, Shuddha Tamaha. If you say Pranaha is Shuddha, then Prana is becomes what? The pure. Prana is not merely the pure, but not even the purer, but the purest. No, it means Prana is free from the Gunaha, Gunas and Doshas, free from defects and merits. Prana is free from defects and merits. Your prana is what now has the glory of being the purest, cleanest among all the subtle factors which constitute the sukshma shariram. And the prana here is the individual prana. We take the prana. Prana is one of the 16 factors which constitute the sukshma shariram. പഞ്ച കർമ്മ ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി, പഞ്ച ജ്ഞാന ഇന്ദ്രിയാണി, പഞ്ച പ്രാണാഹ ആൻഡ് അന്തഃകരണം, ടോട്ടലി 16 ഫാക്ടേഴ്സ് ആർ ദർ. ഓഫ് ദി 16 ഫാക്ടേഴ്സ് വി കെൻ സേ വാട്ട് നോ ആൾ ദി പ്രാണാസ് ടേക്കൻ ആസ് വൺ പ്രാണ, വൺ വൈറ്റൽ എയർ ഈസ് ഇൻവോൾവ്ഡ് ഇൻ ഫൈവ് ഡിഫറെന്റ് ഫംഗ്ഷൻസ്. ദാറ്റ് പ്രാണ ഈസ് ഇൻവോക്ഡ് ഹിയർ വാട്ട് നോ ആസ് ദി ഓബ്ജക്ട് ഓഫ് മെഡിറ്റേഷൻ ഇൻ ഓംകാര. And what is the first glory? The prana has the greatness of being the purest of all the subtle powers. And we saw already it is free from both merits and defects. It is not involved in right or wrong actions. Prana is not involved in right or wrong actions. Therefore, prana is untainted by the righteousness or the wrongness of actions. So here, and then that Shuddha Tamatvam is the greatness of the prana. Being the purest is the glory of the prana. And not only that, prana has another glory, is what now pranaha is sarvam bharaha. Shuddha tamaha, then pranaha sarvam bharaha. Sarvam bharatvam, sarvam bharaha means adjective. The sustainer, enlivener of everything is called sarvam bharaha. Sarvam bharatvam means what? Enjoying the status of being the enlivener, life giver of everything. Sarvani karanani bharati iti sarvam bharaha. I tell you, sarvani karanani bharati. Bharati means supports, sustains, lends life, enlivens, energizes. These are the meanings for Bharati. That is why husband in Sanskrit language is called what? Bharta. Bharta means what? No, not, don't take any other Bharta, not vegan Bharta. Here, Rupal, be careful. This is Bharta. Here is what? Bharta means husband, the protector. This one who supporter of the family is called Bharta. For a wife, Bharta. And wife is supported, server for Bharya. The potential passive participle becomes a noun here. Bharta, protector, Bharya, the protected. Wife, Bharya, husband, Bharta. And the root is Bhr, the verb is Bharati. So, Sarvani Karanani Bharati iti Bharaha. Sarvam Bharaha means all the sense organs, the mind, and then all the organs of actions, all of them are protected, enlivened, thereby the whole body also, but no, enlivened by the prana only. The prana has the greatness of being the sustainer, enlivener, life giver of all the organs. What is called Sarvam Bharaha. The first, these two glories are discussed first. Then we'll see the rest of the three glories. Totally we'll cover the five glories today of the prana. So, Shuddha Tamaha. And to make us understand how prana is the Shuddha Tamaha, purest of all the devatas. Here it is said, so, Shuddha Tamatva Guna Vistishta Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam, long name. Shuddhatva, Shuddha Tamatva, Guna Visishta, Prana Pratika, Udgita Upasanam is the first Upasanam. So we are not practicing that meditation, we are only understanding the meditation. And here, the Upanishad, what it does, just to make us understand, to establish the greatness of the prana being the Shuddha Tamatvam, or prana being the Shuddha Tamaha is established by present through a small tiny little akhyayika story. Not a big story. It seems the Upanishad presents this story here. Through the story, what does the Upanishad do? Upanishad establishes the glory of the prana being the purest. And glory of the prana being, the greatness of the prana being the all, all sustaining. Prana being the life giver. So we are going to read the mantra here. Let us read the mantra, the second section, first mantra. Quickly we'll read. Devasurahavai. I'm going to unmute you. Let me see how we are going to sound. If it is disturbing, I'll again. I muted again. Okay. Now you can just listen to me. I said twice, so you can read after me. Okay. Devasurahavai. Devasurahavai. Yatra sanyetira ubhaye prajapatyaha tadha devaha udgitam ajahruhu. I'll repeat it. Devasurahavai yatra sanyetire. Devasurahavai yatra sanyetire. Ubhaye prajapatyaha. Prajapatyah tadha tadha devaha devaha udgitham ajahruhu udgitham ajahruhu anena anena yenan abhibhavishyama Enan abhibhavishyama iti. So here, it seems devas and asuras, you know, had battle. They were in constant battle. How devas and asuras are constant battle. Who are these devas and asuras? Here, Shankara Bhagavatpada puts it beautifully. These devas and asuras are none other than our own sense powers, our own powers of organs of actions, our own thoughts in the mind. They are the asuraha, they are the devaha. When are they called asuraha? When are they called devaha? If the thoughts rising in the mind, then they are not managed. If the thoughts are expressed in the form of actions which are against the values, then those thoughts are now asuraha. If our sense powers are used in the actions which are against dharma, then they are asuraha. The same sense powers are used in actions which are governed by dharma, then they are devaha. The same powers of organs of actions used in actions which are against dharma, they are asuraha. If they are used in actions which are in conformity with dharma, then they are devaha. This is how devas and asuras are not outside of anybody. In every individual, we can say what? There are devas and asuras. Suppose early in the morning, as soon as you wake up, if you go, your organ of action in the form of an organ of action obtaining in your legs and hands take you to the bathroom for brushing your teeth and having shower, it is what? Devaha. The same organ of the power obtaining in your legs take you to the kitchen without even brushing, you take your breakfast or coffee, it is asuraha. Then, okay, now coming to the class, the sense for now used in coming to the class as devaha, or going to temple, it is devaha, going to work, it is devaha. If you go to pub to drink, it is asuraha. So, where the, when the devas, asuras are in, not anywhere else, they obtain in the same individual. Therefore, and these devas and asuras had the battle, just like a presentation, imaginatively presented here. And Ubhaye Prajapatyaha means what? This Devas or Asuras obtaining in the form of our own powers and thoughts which are involved in right and wrong actions, or what now? Children of the only parent, Prajapatyaha, Asuras and Devas do not have two different parentage. Asuras also in the same individual. Devas are also in the same individual. In terms of the subtle powers involved in right and wrong actions. Therefore, they are said to be children of the same parent. Prajapatyaha means what? They are the children of the same parent, the individual human being. And then it seems, Devaha Udgitam Ajahruhu. Anena Yenan Abhavishyama Iti. What is Devas thought? Who are the Devas here? Our thoughts, our sense powers, our powers of organs of actions, and know which are involved in the functions, whose functions are involved in activities in conformity with Dharma are Devas. And Devas thought, let us meditate upon the Udgitam. Okay, Udgitam Ajahruhu. And they took, no, first they invoked Devas. It is not very clearly said, but we have to understand this. Devas decided to invoke each sense power upon the Omkaraha. When they tried to invoke the each sense power upon the Omkara, immediately Asuras came, and Asuras in the form of Papa Karma, what now, came and attacked the Devas, then they were defeated. Then because the Asuras attacked the Devas, what happened? The sense organ is not the pure, it is used in both right and wrong actions. That is what is said here first. That we'll see the next sentence. See the second mantra. Teha nasikyam pranam udgitam upasan chakrire. Teha nasikyam pranam udgitam upasan chakrire. Nasikyam pranam udgitam. First they did. Devas first invoked the power of smelling. Nasikyam prana means grana indriyam. Nasikyam pranam is equal to grana indriyam. The power of smelling is what? One of the organs of knowledge. Powers of organs of knowledge, sense organs. So first they invoke the power of smelling upon Omkaraha. Then what happened when they were invoking the power of smelling upon Rana Indriyam upon Omkara? Asuraha Papmana Vidhu. Then Asuras came and attacked them. Therefore, what happens? Because Asuras attacked the Omkara, Grana Indriyam invoked upon Omkara, that is why what happened now? This Grana Indriyam, the power of smelling, does not smell only the, is not involved only in smelling the pleasant things. It is involved in smelling both pleasant and unpleasant smells, desirable, undesirable smells. Now foul and fragrant smells. Therefore it says, Ubhayam Jigrati Surabhicha Durgandicha. So being attacked by the Asuras. What now? This Grana Indriyam is what now? It is used in smelling foul smell and also the fragrance. Durgandam jigrati, sugandam cha jigrati. Isn't it? Durgandam, sugandam, jigrati. Sometimes people like, my God, some flavor comes. Even the wrong food they eat, that they like the flavor. The wrong food it is. Isn't it? So it is involved in both the in smelling both. So the power of organ of the power of the smelling is not used only to smell the things which do not distract your mind from Shastram. You smell everything. Therefore, Surabhi Durgandhi, it smells both. So you can't say the Grana Indriyam, the power of smelling is pure power. Why it is not pure power? Because it smells both foul smell as well as fragrance. The sweet smell, the next one. Athacha, it's not very important, we'll quickly go here. Athaha, vacham, udgitam, upasan, chakrire. Then second what now? Then the devas invoked the vagindriyam, the power of organ of speech, karmendriyam, is it? Upon omkara. Again what happened? In the same way, tam ha asuraha papmana vividuhu. Again the asuras attacked. Therefore what happens now? That is why the organ of speech, the power of organ of speech, vagindriyam is what now? It speaks both. Ubhayam vadati. It speaks both. It is used in speaking the lies, what now? As well as the truth. Satyam cha anrutam cha. See why the story tells you, why is it the power of organ of speech organ is used in speaking lies as well as the truth? The organ of speech can be used only in speaking the truth. But why is it is used in speaking the lies also? Because it is possible. Because you can use your will to use your these powers. So asuras affected. Then ataha chakshu udgitam upasan chakrire tadhasuraha papmana vividhuhu tasmat tena ayam pashyati darshaniyam cha adarshaniyam cha papmana hi etad vidham. So now they move on from what? From first it started with power of smelling, then power of organ of speech. Now they move on to the power of seeing. Then they invoke, devas invoke the power of seeing upon Omkaraha. Again the asuras attacked. Don't take it seriously. It's just a story. Attacked. Because being attacked by the asuras, what happened? In the name of wrong action, the seeing power also is used in seeing the things which should be seen, which should not be seen also. That's why Bhadram, that's why we do the prayer. Bhadram karne vishnuyama devaha. May we see only auspicious things through our eyes. May we hear only auspicious things through our ears. What is inauspicious? What is auspicious? Anything and everything which distracts your mind, takes your mind away from Shastra study, away from the accomplishment of moksha, away from the pursuit of knowledge, takes you away from living a life of dharma, takes you away from living a life of karma yoga, takes you away from Bhagavan, then what now? If they take you away from Purusha, Jnanam, Moksha, Dharma, Karma Yoga, duty means what? Definitely they take you towards pursuit of Artha Kamas, and then there you will not know the value of Dharma, you will not in wrong actions also. And you will continue to remain in samsara. Therefore, inauspicious, auspicious means, according to us, anything which takes you away from Shastram, the Shastra enjoined life, Moksha, Jnanam, Dharma, Bhagavan, then that will keep you ever remain in samsara, which means that will ultimately result in what? Going through the life of pains and pleasures. The life of pains and pleasures means there'll be dukkham. Dukkha purnam jivanam. the life filled with sorrow. That is why inauspicious. That is why we do the prayer what? Bhadram kanne vishrunayama devaha. Bhadra means what? Auspicious. May we listen to the auspicious thing. May we listen to the words and think whatever comes and falls in my to my ear, be auspicious. Let that not distract me from the life enjoined by the Shastram. Take me away from Shastram and Dharma. That's why we pray Bhadram Karne Vishunayama Devaha Bhadram Pashyema Akshabihi Yajatraha. May we see only auspicious things through our eyes. Okay, we have to protect ourselves from the things which distract our attention. And then here, what he says here, why is the power of seeing involved in seeing the function of seeing both auspicious and inauspicious things, desirable and undesirable things? Parkappadakoodiyathu parkappadakoodathathu. Things which should not be seen at all are called what? Adarshaneyam. Why? They will take your mind away. They will pollute your mind, distract your mind, disturb the mind. You know, they'll make you go against the dharma. Such things are adarshaniyam. Then darshaniyam, which should be seen. Therefore, the seeing power is involved in seeing both. Therefore, what now? It has merit as well as the defect. It is not pure. Seeing power is not as pure as the prana. The power of organ of speech is not as pure as the prana. The power of smelling is not as pure as the prana. Why? Because they're all used in doing both, right and wrong. Auspicious and inauspicious. Good and bad. The next. Athaha shrotram udgitam upasan chakrire. This upasan chakre, all these are past perfect tense expressions. Don't take it seriously. I just understand the meaning, it's enough. Shrotram udgitam upasan chakrire means, then the devas invoked the power of hearing upon Omkara. Taddha asuraha papmana vividuhu. Again asuras came and attacked. Tasmat, therefore, what happens? Hearing power also is involved in the function of hearing both, what now? Both the shravaniyam, ashravaniyam. The things which should be heard and the things which should not be heard at all. What are the things which should not be heard at all? Anything which you listen to, which you hear, brings about confusion, delusion or passion or attachment and takes your mind away from the enjoyment of mean pleasures, then they're all what now? Ashravaniyam. Ketkappadakoodathu ashravaniyam. Which should not be heard at all. Shravaniyam means what? Which must be heard. Therefore, here shravaniyam means actually shastram is always shravaniyam. Which should be heard. Unfoldment of the scriptures should be heard. Therefore, the seeing power, hearing power also is involved in the function of hearing both, what now? Right and wrong, good and bad, auspicious and inauspicious things. Then, ataha mana udgitam upasan chakrire. He does not mention all the sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions. It is understood here. By mentioning few of them, it is understood that all the sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions can be what now? Karma indriyani, jnana indriyani can be used. All their functions can be involved in righteous and wrong actions. Now finally he goes to the manaha. Then mana udgitam upasan chakrire taddha asuraha papmana vividuhu. The same thing continues. Finally they invoked mind upon Omkaraha. Then what happens? Same, the asuras attacked, there, that is why what now? Manaha tena. See, tasmat, therefore. Therefore means what? Because of the reason of being attacked by asuras, tena, ubhayam sankalpate. Sankalpate, sankalpayate, both are correct. What the mind also thinks. Mind entertains thoughts. Sankalpate, sankalpayate means mind thinks or mind entertains thoughts. What? Sankalpaniyancha, asankalpaniyancha, papanahi etad vidham. Mind entertains thoughts. What now? Right thoughts, wrong thoughts. But actually, thoughts themselves are okay. We do not have say over our thoughts. We are not creating our thoughts. All the thoughts rise. Somebody asked me on one of the classes, what if there's a desire for killing rises? Somebody, killing somebody. I don't want to have that thought. I don't want to have the desire for killing, but still the desire for killing, some hatred I don't want to have, but hatred is there. I don't want to have jealousy, but the jealousy is there. I don't want to be jealous, but jealousy is. I don't want to be envious, but the envy is. Isn't it? I don't want to hate anybody, but still hatred is. They're all thoughts. So like this, all these thoughts are there. That is why what now? Mind help. Helplessly, we have not created the mind, we have not created the thoughts. The mind consisting of varieties of thoughts also forms part of us, the individual. We have no say over them. But when the thoughts rise, thoughts themselves are, if you are helpless, but the thoughts can be managed carefully. You have to use your will, you have to use your knowledge of right and wrong to manage your thoughts. How? You have to, in implementing, in expressing the thoughts in the form of actions, when you happen to express the thoughts, always need expression in the form of actions. In expressing the thoughts in terms of actions, you can what now? You can use your will, and you can use the knowledge of right and wrong, and you can only do what is proper, and you can avoid what is improper. But still, what now? Because the thoughts rise, unless you are very, very alert, very, very sensitive, very conscious, unless you have mastery over the ways of thinking, unless you have shamaha, unless you have the shamaha, it is very difficult for you not to do wrong actions. You know, forgetfully, impulsively, sometimes what? We do express, we behave, our impulsive, reactive behavior also is what? Because of the thoughts only. Therefore, manaha also was now, mind also entertains both thoughts which impel you to do the right actions, which impel to the wrong actions. Okay? Somehow, mind also, thoughts obtaining in the mind also contribute, definitely contribute for your right and wrong actions. Therefore, what now? We say what? Mind entertains the ennapadakoodatha ennangal. Asankalpaniyam and sankalpaniyam. The thoughts which should be entertained, the thoughts which should not be entertained are also there in the mind. Therefore, mind also is what now? Not absolutely pure. Mind also has both purity and impurity. Mind has both merits and defects. Doshaha, dosha gunayuktam manaha. Dosha gunayuktani karmendriyani, dosha gunayuktani jnanendriyani. So what now? Everything is dosha gunayuktam. Everything is endowed with both merit and defect, guna and dosha. Whereas, now finally, now what is left behind? Only prana. Now devas, invoke the prana upon Udgita. Ataha ya evayam mukhyaha pranaha. Now who is the mukhyaha, the primary one, the most important pranaha, the prana. Now they invoke the prana upon Omkaraha, pranaha, tam pranam udgitam upasan chakrire. Now then, now comes the important prana, and this prana they may invoke upon the Omkara. Then what happens? Again the asuras come to attack the prana. But in the meanwhile, what happened? The prana, they could not defeat prana. Then what happened? In the bargain, they got destroyed. The asuras got destroyed. Vidvamsuhu. What does it mean? It means prana is not involved in the right and wrong actions. Prana is what? Neutral. Prana is free from right and wrong, good and bad, merits and demerits, merits and defects. Therefore, and when they attacked, what happened? Ashmanam akhanam ritva vidvamseta. See, ashma means stone. A stone is what? A piece of, stone is strong. Nothing can break the stone. This prana remained like strong, like a stone. And akhanam it what? Now akhanam means that which unbreakable. Khanitum na shakyate iti akhanaha. Akhanaha. Akhanaha, both mean the same. Akhana, na, the dental. Akhana, that is cerebral. Kanna, na. Akhanaha, akhanaha means what? Kanitum na shakyate, that which cannot be pierced, penetrated or broken. Dug. Is we say what now? Akhana. And like a strong stone which is unbreakable, like that the prana remained unattackable, non-attackable. In the bargain, like the Shankara does, the mantra does not say, but Shankara says here, what he says, Pamsu Pindaha. Just as if you take a clod of soil, or if you take a ball of clay, and if you throw the ball of clay towards the stone remains unbroken, but the ball of clay will get broken into many pieces. In the same way, asuras who attacked this prana, they became destroyed, and the prana remained strong like a stone. Here ends the funny little story. So what is the lesson here? All the sense powers, all the karmendriyani, all the jnanendriyani, even all the entire antakaranam also has what? Both guna dosha yuktani. All endowed with both right and wrong, good and bad, merits and defects. Whereas prana, there is no such a thing. You can say good thought or bad thought. Right thought, wrong thought. Right function, wrong function. You can say right. But here, can you say prana is a bad prana or good prana? No. Prana is just the prana. See, in the presence of the prana, they all work function. Minus prana, nothing can function. Understand? Everything will become, we'll see that later on. This is, here ends the story. Therefore, so what he says, then in the 8th mantra, the Upanishad says, Yatha ashmanam akhanam ritva vidvamsata evam havai saha vidvamsate ya eva vidipapam kamayate evam vidikapapam kamayate yaschayenam abhidasati saha eshaha ashmakanaha. So what he wants to say in this eighth mantra, he said the benefit of practicing this meditation. See, if a person practices this meditation, he also becomes non-attackable, non-temptable, he will become strong and pure person that nothing can shake his mind to be involved in wrong actions. He will become the pure minded and become the pure person. Like, that's the benefit of this practicing this meditation. Then the ninth mantra, with this, the first is over. So, what is the first meditation here? Shuddha Tamatva Guna Visishta Prana Pratika Upasanam is over with the eighth mantra. And the ninth mantra presents the second glory of the prana. What is second glory of the prana? Second glory, second greatness of the prana is Pranaha Sarvam Bharaha. Pranaha Sarvam Bharaha. Pranaha is the enlivener, energizer, life giver of all, everything. And how do we know that now? The Upanishad presents beautifully here. If we do not eat food, if we are not energetic, the prana is not there in the body. I tell you, the mind cannot think. No, you cannot listen. If somebody is hungry, any one of you is hungry there, you cannot listen, you cannot hear, your ears, you cannot hear, you cannot see, you will feel like fainting. The prana must be there. That is why we faint. The thinking, knowing, understanding, seeing, hearing, all the functions of all the organs are possible only if the prana is there. Minus prana, they'll all be what now? Dead. In fact, they'll be non-functional, cannot function. But prana is so important here. Even the death is determined how? Oh, the prana is there or not. Always doctors come and see your pulse. They make out whether the person is there or he has already left. No? Therefore, he is saying here, so prana is the life giver of everything. That is said in the ninth mantra. Ninth mantra presents the second greatness of the prana. Naiva yetena surabhi na durgandhi vijanati apahata papma hi yeshaha. See, who is pranaha? Pranaha is not involved in, prana is not afflicted by, touched by, tainted by even the good smell or foul smell. And prana is what now? Apahata papma. Apahata papma means one who is free from all papams. Okay, prana is free from apahata papma. Prana does not have, prana does not become the sinner, or prana is does not have the glory of being the, it is also, prana is free from both punyam and papam, right and wrong, but apahata papma. Therefore, what Vishuddha is a pure. This is established here now. The next one. Tena yad ashnati yad pibati tena itaran pranan avati. He says, ashnati means eats and pibati means drinks. The Upanishad does not, the mantras are not very complete, long sentences. We have to supply to understand the correct meaning. Supply words, understand the meaning. What is conveyed here, that I can tell you. See, when we put our food into our mouth, you use your hands or spoon or whatever, you know, the fork, you take the food, put into your mouth. I tell you, if the prana is not there, udana, no, is apana prana, ado gamanavan vayuhu. If the apana prana does not work, the food, whatever you put, will be sticking in your mouth. And without your knowledge also, the food gets pushed into the food pipe. See, you never realize how blessed you are. We don't even know. You just put it into your mouth, finished. You don't even know apana prana. It is apana prana's function, because of which alone the food you take in, put into the mouth, the water you drink does not stay in the mouth. It goes in. You could have seen the people who are in a deathbed, nothing goes in. Everything comes out like this. You would have seen. Why it comes out? You put to the dead body's mouth. Nothing goes in. Why? Prana is not there. That is why it comes out, spills out, isn't it? You have to push, put some stick or something. You have to push inside and it may go to some distance. In dead body, why the food or water you pour does not go in? Why it comes out? Because prana has already said bye, gone away. Prana is not there. Therefore, he is apana prana. Because of the, please understand, we'll be very grateful. Prana only, without any difficulty, effortlessly, you only put the food in the mouth, it goes into the food pipe, the water goes in. And later on, we have to understand extra. When the food is put, it goes into the food pipe, it goes to digestive system, that bag there, food bag is, isn't it? There again, digestion happens. The food gets digested because of the samana prana. And digested food, samam nayati iti samanaha. All the parts, head to top to bottom, head to the feet, all the parts, all the limbs, all the organs, all over the body, the food again is what? Is equally, with any partiality, equally distributed because of the function of samana prana. And later on, how? Through the function of circulation, the blood also, every time, lapped up from auricles to ventricles and ventricles to auricle again, it has to keep on, the whole blood has to circulate all over the body to all the tiniest nerves. Also, the blood is going everywhere. That is why every time we go for blood test, how quickly they can take the blood. My God. A small syringe they put on any nerve and they can just take the blood. How much they take so quickly? How? The circulation, that's possible. Even the blood test is for because of the prana. And then the blood cannot come out. You know that? Circulation, that's a vyanaha. Circulation is happening because of the prana. Digestion is happening because of prana. The food is pushed into the tummy because of the prana. And not only that, excretion also, after digestion. Above all, there is constantly you need oxygen. And for it also, what now? Pragamanavan vayuhu, adogamanavan vayuhu. Constantly respiration is happening. That's also because of the prana. And not only that, finally udanaha, the prana, the excretory system also functions. All the unwanted is pushed out also what? Because of the apana prana. Imagine if that is not, apana prana does not work, again all the stuff will remain in your body. Toxins, everything. So all push because of the apana, and finally udana pranaha, every time the prana goes out and comes in, again it retains all the pranas in the body. That is why constantly, continuously body is energetic, all the functions are happening. Thereby the physical body is alive and all the activities are possible. Enjoyment of life itself is possible because of the prana. And this prana, sometimes what happens? Sometimes when you find it difficult to breathe to the nostrils also, that's why we try to open the mouth and we try to inhale. Sometimes when we find it suffocating. Sometimes when that time also it is not possible at all for the vayu to come back. What happened? Vayu, the prana leaves the physical body. The minute prana leaves, then the mind has no food. Sense powers have no. Therefore, mind leaves. Once the mind leaves, all the powers also will become powerless. Then they become what now? Weak, non-functional. They live along with the mind. The prana leaves. The mind leaves. The prana leaves. All the powers leave. Then body becomes dead. There's no life. But who is the sustainer, enlivener, energizer, life giver of all the organs, all the physical parts, and all the activities, even the accumulation of punya papa, enjoyment of experience of the world, enjoyment of pleasures, everything is possible because of the blessing of the prana only. There pranaha sarvam bharaha. All enlivener, life giver. And that is here said, evam u etavan eva antataha vitva utkramati. Finally, this prana alone, antataha, we have to finally utkramati, vyadadati eva antataha. Vyadadati means what now? The prana, when it is difficult to inhale, when it is difficult for the prana to remain in the body, then whenever we find difficult to breathe, we feel suffocation, all of us will do one thing, we try to keep our mouth wide open. And here the mantra, Shankara says, Vyadadati means every human being tries to keep one's mouth wide open when one feels the suffocation in terms of breathing. And that keeping the mouth wide open also is possible because of the prana only. And then what happens? Finally, when nothing is possible, prarabdha ends very strong. Prarabdha ends, then utkramati. Pranaha goes out for good, will not come back to this body. Saying bye, it leaves utkramati. Prana leaves. Vyadadati. Utkramati, it leaves for good. When the prana leaves for good, nothing happens to prana and nothing happens to mind, nothing happens to your sense powers. They all happily go together, wait for another house to enter. Again, in keeping with the paratha, sometimes some other new body will, Bhagavan will ordain, like how people wait in the council, na? You have to wait for the GP's appointment. You have to book the appointment, wait for the GP's appointment for your treatment. Similarly, they have to wait for getting a new body. And the time comes, they will get a new body. But what I'm saying here, that's not our important thing here. How pranaha makes the life possible. Any one of the pranas in trouble also, what now? The whole system will be into trouble. So with this ninth mantra, the two glories, the greatness of prana in terms of being the purest, in terms of being the life giver, is over. These are the twofold glories of the prana. Now, the 10th to the 14th mantra, with which the second section ends, three more glories of the prana we are going to see, but a little differently. What is the third glory of the prana that is given in the 10th mantra? That is like in the, like a small verse like, tam ha angira udgitam upasan chakra etam u eva angirasam manyante anganam yadrasah. You cannot understand anything in this mantra. All Sanskritam language is very different. I'll read again. I'll tell you exactly what the mantra says here. Tam ha angira udgitam upasan chakra etam u eva angirasam manyante anganam yadrasaha. What is the meaning of this mantra? Don't worry about reading the mantra. Let me tell you. Here the upasana is called what now? The angirasa guna visishta prana pratika udgita upasanam. Angirasa guna visishta prana pratika udgita upasanam. What does it mean here? So we are only seeing the glories of the prana, and we are going to see all these glories of, we invoke the prana upon the omkara, and then it's actually the omkara meditation, invoking the prana in that omkara. And what is angirasa guna visishtaha pranaha? So shuddha tamatva guna visishtaha pranaha. Then sarvam bharatva guna visishtaha pranaha. Now we are seeing angirasa guna visishtaha pranaha. Third thing. Angirasaha, the thing, there's a rishi called Angiras. There are two meanings for this. The rishi called Angiras, and he meditated upon the omkara, invoking prana in omkara. Therefore, what now? This prana pratika udgita upasanam has what now? The greatness of honor of having been meditated upon. Prana has the honor of being meditated upon by the great rishi Angiras. I repeat, pranaha has the greatness, the honor, the glory of having been meditated upon by the great sage Angiras. There is one meaning. And another meaning of Angiras is, the prana is called angirasaha. Now, angi means what? Anganam rasaha angirasaha. Anga means limb, the juice, the essence, the life of all the angas, all the limbs. How do you say the prana? Obtaining in the form of energy in the body, the modified, converted form of food is what? Energy. The physical energy, mental energy, energy obtaining in all the sense powers, because of which all the functions are possible, because of which life is possible, living is possible, because the body is alive, and that is what now? The energy obtaining in the body is what? Okay, prana. And that energy is what? The modified form of food energy alone obtains in the form of prana shakti. Anna shakti is the form of prana shakti. Isn't it? And what is that? Therefore, the food. Prana is the essence of the food. And which is the life of all the functions, all the life of all the beings here. Therefore, all the hands, I can move the hands, I can move the legs, I can do all the actions. Physically, I can be active, I can think, I can know, I can understand, I can feel, I can desire, I can see, I can hear, I can smell, I can touch, I can do. My God, all the functions of activities are possible. All the organs, limbs are alive and active because of the blessing of the prana. We say even now, prana is the essence of all the limbs. Anganam rasaha angirasaha. Pranaha sarvesham anganam rasaha. Prana is the essence of all the life of all the limbs. Your prana is called what? Angirasaha. Two meanings for this. What is the first meaning? One meaning is the prana has the honor of being meditated upon by Rishi Angiras. Therefore it's called what now? Angirasa gunavisishta pranaha. Then second glory is what? Prana is the essence and life of all the limbs. Therefore, angirasa gunavisishta pranaha. Two meanings here for this. And what is meditation here called? Angirasa gunavisishta prana pratika udgita upasanam. Just learn the names. We are not going to practice this meditation, okay? Thank God, don't need to practice. I'm going to tell you what a substitute we have, also I have to tell you. Okay, next meditation. Next. Now we have seen three great glories, you know, of the prana. The fourth one we are going to see now. What is the fourth one here? Brihaspati guna visishta pranaha. What is the glory of the prana? Brihaspati guna visishta pranaha. So, Brihaspati Gunavisishta Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. Yep. So, Brihaspatihi means what? Brihaspatihi means here. Brihati means word, speech. Brihati means speech. Walk. And the Lord of speech is the Pranaha. Lord of speech is the Pranaha. Brihaspatihi, we also say Jupiter. The planet Jupiter is also called Brihaspatihi, Guruhu. That is why we go into Navagraha Pradakshina when you do in the temples. There, Brihaspati means what? The Vyalan, Guru. But Dakshinamurti is Adi Guru. No, he is the Guru of all the Gurus. Dakshinamurti is this Bhagavan worshipped as the Bhagavan invoked as the bestower of spiritual wisdom is Dakshinamurti Adi Guru. But Brihaspati is one of the nine planets. Deva Guruhu, isn't it? Deva Guruhu, Asura Guruhu, Guru of all the Gurus is Dakshinamurti. So don't get confused. Okay, actually when you have a problem with the Guru, Jupiter, you know what now? Grace of Jupiter. Vyala, that is Brihaspati. But here, Brihaspati means, there also what now? Brihati means speech. And Brihaspatihi means the Lord of speech, Brihaspatihi. And here, all the speech, speech implies what? Expression of knowledge obtained in the form of thoughts. Speech or words are nothing but expression of knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts. That is why we say Bhagavan, every word, the knowledge expressed in the form of word means speech can be in the form of a sound, it can be written also. The written words are spoken words. Written words are spoken words. All the words are what? Expression of speech, which is an expression, which is an expression of the knowledge obtaining in the form of thoughts in the mind. And that is possible. The knowledge and is possible. The expression of knowledge of words also is possible only if we have the blessing of the prana. Your prana is said to be what now? The lord of speech. Your brihaspatihi. Your brihaspati guna visishta prana pratika udgita upasanam. Is one meaning. Another meaning is there's a rishi called Brihaspatihi also, and this prana has the honor of being meditated upon or having been meditated upon by the rishi called Brihaspatihi. It was called what now? That is the prana. The prana is great. Why prana is great? Brihaspati rishi meditated upon prana. Angiras meditated upon prana. And another meaning is what? We have to get two meanings for this. And one more thing we have here. Hayasyaha. So, hayasya, hayasya, hayasya. Hayasyaha is also one of the names of the rishis. Like Brihaspatihi. Here means what? One of the names of the rishis. And here Hayasyaha also is one of the names of the rishis. One of the rishis is called Hayasyaha. So Hayasya Guna Visishta Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. What does it mean? The Hayasya Rishi he also meditated upon prana. Therefore here we say, the prana has the honor, the greatness of having been meditated upon by the great rishi Ayasyaha. This is one glory. Another meaning is, the mantra itself says, let us read the mantra now. Tena, read the 12th mantra. Tena tam Hayasya udgitam upasan chakra etam eva ayasyam manyanta asyat yad ayate. So, why prana is called ayasyaha? First I gave another meaning. Prana has the honor of having been meditated upon by the rishi Ayasyaha. Ayasyaha. Now, Ayasyaha. Okay, not ha. Ayasyaha. Now, here the meaning, another one is, see, asyam, asyam means mouth. Another meaning, asyam means mouth. Asyat, now from the, through the mouth, via mouth. Ayate yad, when during exhalation, the prana, the exhalation happens where? Through the mouth and through the nostrils. So, nasikayaha dvara or asyat. Now, from the mouth, the prana goes. Asyat yad ayate. Ayate means goes. ஆசியாத் அயதே இதி ஆயாஸ்யா. ஆசியாத் யது அயதே சஹ வாட் நவ் பிராணஹ ஆயாஸ்யா. தி பிராணா விச் டியூ ஃபார் எக்ஸலேஷன் இட் கோஸ் த்ரூ வாட் நவ் மவுத். யுவர் பிராணா இஸ் நோன் அஸ் ஆயாஸ்யா. வாய் மூலமாக வெளியேறுவதால் என்ன சொல்றதுக்கு இட்ஸ் கால் ஆயாஸ்யா. தட் விச் இஸ் கோஸ் அவுட் த்ரூ எக்ஸலேஷன் மோஸ்ட்லி வி திங்க் ஒன்லி தி நாஸ்ட்ரல்ஸ். தி மவுத் ஆல்சோ இஸ் இன்வால்வ்ட் இன் எக்ஸலேஷன். சோ ஹி சேஸ் இஸ் ஃபார் பிராணா இஸ் கால்ட் ஆயாஸ்யா. சோ ஜஸ்ட் வை பிராணா இஸ் கால்ட் ஆயாஸ்யா. Now, you meditate upon prana as the one which, prana is the one endowed with this, the nature of moving out of the, moving through, going out through the mouth. This, with this, the, all the five, the glories or the greatness of prana are over here. So, ayasya, guna visishta prana. Who prana is what? Ayasya guna visishtaha pranaha. Brihaspati guna visishtaha pranaha. Angirasa guna visishtaha pranaha. Sarvambhara guna visishtaha pranaha. Sarvambharatva guna visishtaha pranaha. Shuddha tama சுத்தமத்துவத்துவணவிசிஷ்டா பிராணா. அண்ட் திஸ் பிராணா இஸ் இன்வோக்ட் அப்பான் உத்கீத ஓங்கார. மெடிடேஷன் இஸ் கால்ட் வாட் சுத்த தமத்துவ சர்வம் பரத்துவ அங்கிரச குணவிசிஷ்ட சுத்தத்துவ குணவிசிஷ்ட சர்வம் பரத்துவ குணவிசிஷ்ட அங்கிரச குண விசிஷ்ட பிரகஸ்பதி குண விசிஷ்ட தென் ஆயாசிய குண விசிஷ்ட பிராண பிரதீக உத்கீத உபாசனம். We meditate upon the Omkara, invoke the prana upon Omkara as the one who is endowed with these fivefold glories and meditate upon this Omkara. Invoking the such great prana in this Omkara. So we here ends the next. Now we have seen totally 8 meditations, Upasanani. Now that's all, it is over. But simply the Upanishad wants to say the benefit of, what is the benefit of practicing this meditation. I told you already, we don't need to worry about not enjoying the benefit of practicing this meditation, because we are not going to practice this meditation at all. Only understanding here. Tena ha, tena tam ha bako dalbhyo vidan chakara saha naimishiyanam udgata babhuva சக ஸ்மைபிய காமானாகாயதி. வாட் இஸ் திஸ் 13th மந்த்ரா சே? ஐ டோல்ட் யூ ஆல்ரெடி, ஒன்லி ஃப்ரம் தி 6th சாப்டர் ஐ வில் டூ எவ்ரி வேர்ட் பை வேர்ட் மீனிங், பிகாஸ் தட் இஸ் வேர் அவர் ஆக்சுவல் வேதாந்தா டீச்சிங் இஸ் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் 5 சாப்டர்ஸ் ஒன்லி டிஸ்கஸ் உபாசனானி, விச் யூ ஆர் ரீடிங் ஃபார் த சேக் ஆஃப் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் வாட் இஸ் தேர் இன் திஸ் உபாசனா சாப்டர்ஸ், not for anything else. That you should remember. The 13th mantra here gives you the benefit. See, there was a rishi called, one rishi, and known as Bakaha Dalbhyaha. Bakaha Dalbhyaha, it looks like a German sound, some sound, isn't it? Bakaha Dalbhyaha, Bakaha means, actually this crane is also called Bakaha. But here we have that Bakaha here. Bakaha Dalbhyaha is one of the names of some rishi. Okay. Some rishi's name is Bakaha Dalbhyaha. Like how we can say Luchin is the name of one person here. Like Bakaha Dalbhyaha is one name of one rishi. And this Rishi, it seems, practiced this prana upasana, practiced meditation upon prana, this omkara, invoking the prana and meditate omkara. For what happens? The thing is, he got all his wishes and desires fulfilled. Relatively, he got all his wishes and desires fulfilled. So what does the Upanishad say here? That Brishihi Bakaha Dalbhyaha practiced this. Bakaha Dalbhyaha practiced this meditation, enjoyed the benefit in terms of fulfillment of all his desires, wishes. Similarly, all means don't say absolutely, relatively he fulfilled all his desires fulfilled. See, no meditation can ever make you fulfill all your wishes absolutely. All your wishes become as good as fulfilled absolutely only in jnanam. Only in the wake of the knowledge of yourself being identical with the Paramatma, in the wake of the knowledge of your own self being the happiness and fullness, all your desires and all your wishes become as good as fulfilled absolutely. But practice of meditation can bless you with the fulfillment of all your desires. Means what? Only relatively one becomes the fulfiller, accomplisher of all one's desires. So here Upanishad says, just for the sake of encouraging people to practice meditation, yes, what now? Those who, this Rishihi Bakaha Dalbhyaha practiced Udgita Upasanam, Prana Pratika Udgita Upasanam. As a result, he got all his desires fulfilled relatively. It is for us to understand the benefit of meditation. That is 13th mantra. Then 14th mantra. It now says what now? Here ends the Adhyatma Udgita Upasanam. Agatahavai Kamanam Bhavati Ya Evam Etadevam Vidvan Aksharam Udgitam Upasta Ityadhyatmam. Here, why Adhyatmam? The prana, here is an individual prana, is taken as an object of meditation. Therefore, it's called what now? Adhyatmam. Adhyatma means anything pertaining to the total is called Adidaivam. Anything pertaining to the individual is called Adhyatmam. Adidaivam Adhyatmam. What is the difference? If anything pertaining to the total is called Adidaivam, anything pertaining to the individual is called Adhyatmam. And the prana here is what an individual prana, the word is called Adhyatmam. That's all. So the upasana here, the upasana, the internally called the prana pratika upasana, the prana, the udgita upasanam, in the omkara upasanam, for the upasanam in which omkara is an alambanam, in which prana is invoked, that upasanam is over here. And whoever practices this meditation, for them all the desires become fulfilled. All the desires come to them. In which now, all the desires become fulfilled. This is the benefit of meditation is repeated. And here ends the second section. And hereafter, Adi Daiva Upasana is going to come. Okay, there is a different one. Okay, that Upasana, there's a next section, third section, which I'll do in the next class. We have completed, now I can tell you, we have completed in the first chapter on Upasanam, we completed these two sections. In the two sections, totally 8 upasanams, meditations have been discussed. The first is straight away Udgita Upasanam, Guna Visishta Udgita Upasanam, and then prana pratika udgita upasanam. Totally 8 upasanas we have learned. And now I stop here because we won't be looking into this again and again. We are going to seriously discuss only the 6th chapter. I want to quickly finish these chapters. If you have any doubts in what I have said today, in what I said in the previous class, you can please ask me now. You are allowed to unmute yourself, and then you can unmute yourself and you can talk to me. Or I can unmute also. You can ask any doubts. If you have, you can ask me. Any doubts in what I said today? What is the previous class? Because I want you to understand one thing. These sutras are not in complete sentences. I want to mute again. See, you need to understand one thing. The mantras contained in the Upasana sections are not, generally Upanishad mantras are not in complete sentences. And then the language also is what now, not a conventional language, not language used in the regular day-to-day life. The language is different. Therefore, sometimes the meaning has to be extracted only from the commentary, Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. That's why I did not read out all this. Even people who know Sanskritam, it is difficult for them to understand the language used in this. People who do not know Sanskritam at all, you can understand. So, whether you know the language or do not know the language, does not matter. You need to know what is the content of these chapters, content in these chapters on meditation. That is what you need to know. So, I am just telling you, exactly what, how much ever you need to understand, whatever is there, I have told you. But I have only told you what are the upasanas discussed there. And I have not taught you how to practice this meditation. I have not taught you. I am not going to teach you. And you need not learn how to practice this meditation. And you not practice these meditations also. The reason I told you already, because these meditations are prescribed for students of the Veda. But you can understand, without knowing this meditation also, you can still progress towards the Jnanakanda portion to understand the teaching of the Upanishads. The main teaching of the Upanishads, Brahma Vidya, the unfoldment of the nature of the reality as the reality of the individual and reality of the total Ishvara, we can understand unfolding of the nature of the reality as the reality of the individual, as the reality of the total, both you can understand easily, understand finally what, how the reality is one and the same. That is main teaching you understand in the 6th chapter. Okay, now any doubts?
Swamini?
Yeah?
During death, what is the last thing that leaves? You said prana is the last thing that leaves.
No. See, death is departure of the mind, departure of the prana from the body implies departure of the mind. Departure of prana along with the mind and along with all the sense powers is called what? Death. See, the mind, so but
whole,
what?
That means the whole of the Sukshma Shariram.
See, I told you in Drik Trishay Veka class, the textbook when I was doing, I told you this very clearly. Actually, when the Prarabdha comes to an end, what first leaves the body is the mind. But even though mind lives, prana also lives. But without the prana, mind cannot survive. prana alone, nothing can survive. See, yeah. Even a person who is in coma, for him, the prana is there. Prana, mind cannot, mind, sense source cannot exist independently. The prana can, you know, the mind is non-functional. See, even mind is non-functional, even the sense organs are non-functional, still the mind can be functional. So the prana can be functional. That is why in deep sleep state, every day, all your sukshma aspects are non-functional. Your mind is non-functional. Non-functional state of the mind is what? The knowledge will not manifest. That is it. That is what is called deep sleep state. Okay? Mind being non-functional. Mind is what? Mind being non-functional, inactive, passive is called deep sleep state. But even though when the mind is non-functional, still prana is functional. Because pranas are constantly functional. That is why mind stays. The minute prana stops, the immediately mind will leave the body. Mind stays in the body only as long as prana is functional. Prana can be functional as long as prana is there. The minute prana leaves, immediately mind will leave. The minute mind leaves, all the sense force also will be non-functional. In sleep, everything is functioning. Prana is functioning, but nothing is functioning in sleep. Sense organs are non-functional. Powers of organs of actions are non-functional. Mind is completely non-functional. That is why body is lying like a dead body. That's why sleep is as good as death. Okay? Sleep is not dead, but in sleep, body is as good as dead. That is why once you wake up from sleep, first thing you need to have shower and change your clothes. You should not touch the bed after you wake up from sleep. Because it's not clean. Body is like a dead body. But still, what is that which brings you back next day? The presence of the prana, the function of the prana wakes you up again. What now? You wake up next day. Yes, prana is independent of others. Whereas other organs are not now dependent on prana for their functioning, for their being, even, for their existence. The prana lives. That's why even in the temples, in the murtis, when you do the installation of the murtis, ordinary piece of stone, a statue which is a piece of stone, when does it become powerful? We say only after installation. The murti installation means what? You invoke the prana. So prana pratishtha. It's called prana pratishtha. Prana pratishtha means you by lots and lots and lots of mantras in the proper manner. What now? The prana life is attributed to the murti. It's after prana pratishtha, we have to do regular naivedyam for the murtis. That is why if you don't do proper naivedyam after installing murtis in the temples and a place around, we have what now? Poverty. Dardram pudichukum. That's why don't temples install murtis if you are not able to maintain the temples properly. That is what always big, huge temples built in India during the king's period. Now they don't look after them properly. And Swamiji always, one of the reasons why there's poverty around the areas, because they don't look after well. So prana means life. Life means you have to feed.
Yeah. And pala vishayam ellam cheyiradhu. Appadiya?
Yes.
Naivedyam ellam
seivadhu. Abhishekam is different. The food. Every day they offer food. 3 times. Night time, where there's also offer pine, we give milk also. Ekant Seva, we offer milk every day. Milk also offer to Bhagavan. Yes. Any other question?
I just wanted to ask which book do you recommend for us to use?
Yeah, Chakra.
Yeah. Which one?
Follow the text when you are in my class. When I read out the mantras, carefully follow the mantras. Okay. I want you to read at least once the mantras, okay? In the class, you can follow. But the translation part of it, whichever book you buy, the translation, the literal translation will not make you understand anything.
Okay.
That's all. You can refer to any book for translation. But original text actually is as it is, the transliteration also is available. But still, you need to study with the help of the teacher to speak correctly, how to read it, where to stop, where to put a full stop, where to begin. You need to read with the help of the teacher. But otherwise, you can follow any book, no problem. But if you want, I'll get you. Whoever doesn't have Chandogyam wants me to get me, I can get you for Chandogyam for you. And I'm going to give you all Pujya Swamiji's Chandogya Upanishad talks also on 6th chapter, apart from my class. You can also listen to the talk also. See, this is the Upasams, why I am teaching. In fact, I could have easily ignored, I could have gone straight to 6th chapter. Pujya Swamiji teaches only 6th chapter and 7th chapter with the Shankara's commentary, which I'm also going to teach you the same way. But still, I want to take these chapters just for the sake of understanding the highly imaginative, mind, and appreciate the imaginative mind of the rishis. Just like to understand how they think, what all they think, and how they, it's all many different disciplines. Just your self-guided meditation, in fact. You're asked to meditate upon this and this, this, etc. And another thing I told you, an important thing I told you, even in the class on Bhagavad Gita class, I mentioned this. The meditation now discussed here are what now? Saguna Brahma Vishaya Manasa Vyaparaha. Which means the mental activity for which the object of meditation is Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma means what now? Anything other than yourself, any object is what? Sagunam Brahma only. Attribute of Bhagavan. Okay? Any object. When an object of the meditation is anything other than your own self, is what? Sagunam Brahma. So here prana, omkara, whatever it is not your real nature. It's only meditation. Therefore, meditation is what now? Therefore, this means for meditation also is a mental activity. Meditation is a mental activity. And mental activity means what now? Mental activity is also what? Any activity, please understand. Any activity. There is a mental, oral or physical, any action is a product of ignorance. Ignorance caused. What is action? What is the cause of the action? Actually, cause of action is ignorance only. Therefore, any action is ignorance friendly. Ignorance from the action will not remove ignorance. Therefore, meditation is not the means for removing the ignorance. And then what do you need for jnanam then? For the removal of ignorance, what you need is jnanam. And for jnanam, what you need is shravanam. Continuously, systematically, regularly listening to the unfoldment of the teaching for length of time. The competent teacher, sampradaya teacher alone is called what? Shravanam. That shravanam, when you are systematically are given to the listening to unfoldment, definitely without fail, it will, what now? Contribute for the rising of the knowledge. Or jnana utpatti, jnana udayaha, rising of the knowledge it will happen. Definitely rising of the knowledge will happen If your system given to the systematic, regular and for study of the Shastra, Savanam alone will give Jnanam. So Upasanam is another word for Jnanam. Shravanam or Jnanam, which will remove ignorance? Shravanam alone will contribute for the removal of ignorance through the contributing to the rising of the knowledge. But Mananam also will not remove ignorance. Mananam will help you only to clear the doubts you have, you know, in knowledge you already gained through Shravanam. Only Shravanam is only means for Jnanam. Mananam is for removing the doubts you have in the knowledge which you have already attained through Shravanam. The Nididhyasanam is meditation. Nididhyasanam, the contemplation is meditation, the mental activity. That meditation is also what? Meditation is on, meditation upon the nature of the reality as your own real nature. Meditation upon the truth of the universe as your own real nature. And which you have already understood, known through clearly through Shravanam and Mananam. So in contemplation is a meditation. There you are not removing the ignorance. Contemplation is not for removal of ignorance. Contemplation of is not for remove the clarifying of doubts also. Contemplation is actually meditation upon your own real nature, which you have already clearly, doubtlessly understood through Shravanam and Mananam. And which is for only assimilation of the knowledge, ascertainment of the knowledge, not for the attainment of knowledge. Contemplation, Nididhyasanam is for the assimilation, ascertainment of the knowledge which you have already got through, attained through Shravanam and Mananam. Nididhyasanam is not for the attainment of the knowledge, but for the ascertainment of the knowledge. Got the difference? Because now Upanishad is talking so many meditations, so we not get confused here. And then one more thing, whatever is object of meditation also, if it is not the your own swarupam, and just make it very clear, if the object of meditation which you are dwelling upon is not your own real nature, in terms of the nature of the reality, as what limitlessness is the nature of reality, means limitlessness is your own real nature. Happiness, fullness, nature of reality, which is your own real nature. Existence is your own real nature. You know, timelessness, your own real nature. How? So seeing the fact. See, now, if I ask you to, seeing the fact of water being pure H2O. Similarly, seeing the seer, the knower, the truth of I being, what now, the consciousness, which is of the nature of fullness, limitlessness, etc., is what? Actual contemplation. Only suswarupa anusandhanam is contemplation. Your own real, only if you are dwelling upon your own real nature, how your real nature is limitlessness, how your real nature is consciousness, how your real nature is of the timelessness, how your real nature is existence, how your real nature is independence, freedom. So how do you understand that your real nature? By being exposed to the Shastram, you understand the meaning of all these words. Actually, all these words are meaningless. Eternity, eternal, timeless, no, all these words need to be understood, not mere repeating. So, once you understood through Shravana, and you're dwelling upon the real nature of your own self, and that is contemplation, which is for the ascertainment of assimilation of your, the knowledge of yourself, and which is the moksha, accomplishment of the already accomplished moksha. Otherwise, here, that is Shravanam and Vidyasanam, only we had to focus on. That is why people, when they ask, we never teach meditation. Now that we don't want to teach meditation, we will make you understand what meditation is. Then we say, what now, japa. And I told you this also. And what is a substitute for Vedic meditation in our day-to-day life now is the worship. Worship of the Lord. The worship means, any worship puja involves threefold actions. There's a puja means there's a physical activity is involved, oral activity is involved, and a mental activity is also involved. That's why the physical activity is also called upasanam, even though it is not purely mental activity. Why? Because worship also is called upasanam, because when you do the puja, the physically whether you do, mentally you do, orally you do, your mind is must be focused, mind must be totally involved there. In physical activity like chess, arati, etc., your mind must be totally there. Then the physical activity is also what now? Becomes upasanam. It's as good as mere mental activity. In worship, object of worship is Bhagavan, Ishvara. Therefore, whether you do anything physically, orally, also the mind is totally there in what you are doing, then it is as good as, it serves the purpose of whatever the Vedic meditation do. Okay, it's a substitute for Vedic meditation is what? Our regular worship and prayer. We also have Manasa Puja. We say we have mental, we say Japa, Manasa Japaha. We're repeating Rama Nama, Krishna Nama, Arunama Narayanaya, any mantra you can do softly, orally. And if possible, if you can convert that from oral activity to a purely a mental activity, you can mentally, you can chant. Very difficult sometimes. The tongue will slowly inside, it will be dancing without your knowledge. You know, without movement, without any tongue movement, if you can mentally chant the mantra, Om Namo Narayanaya, Om Namo Shivaya, and that is also what? Substitute for Vedic meditation. So you don't need to worry that we are not practicing Vedic meditations. A lot of people have the worry. Oh my God, we are not practicing Vedic meditations. Understanding Vedic meditation itself is a problem. Where's the question of practicing Vedic meditation? So just understand, to appreciate the imaginative mind of the rishis.
Thank you so much.